is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth and a quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Our Father, we thank you for this morning. As we go into this sixth lesson, Father, we receive your help in the name of Jesus. I pray for understanding and I pray for utterance for myself. Thank you for your help. I come under my father in the house and my mother in the house. I receive all that you want for me to speak, even that which is in their hearts. I receive all this help. Thank you, our Heavenly Father, for in Jesus' name we've prayed. Last week, we spoke about the expressions of the ungodly field, and we dealt with the hidden works. I think the week before, we dealt with the manifest works of the flesh, and last week, we dealt with the works that are not easily seen. Today, lesson six, still the same theme, the great harvest, the church, and the household of faith. Now we want to look at the corrupt field and its expressions. We're going to take James 5, 7, then 2 Peter 2, 12 to 19, then Leviticus 22, 25. James 5, 7. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and had long patience for it, until he received the early and latter rain. So let's read 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12 to 19. One to go. But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. As they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spot the hour and blemishes, spotting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and hearts they have exercised with covetous practices, cause children, which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. But when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they are lured through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. Leviticus 20:25. Want to go? Neither from a stranger's hand shall ye offer the bread of your God of any of these, because their corruption is in them, and blemishes be in them, they shall not be accepted for you. So we have two objectives. The first is to scripturally unveil and divide the corrupt field, its innate laws, and its expressions. And the second one is to show the process by which the field is made fit to receive the incorruptible seed from which the great harvest is brought forth. Last week we saw that it's not only enough that the field is made honest. From that book of Luke chapter 8 verse 15, a honest field must also be made good. We can see that Luke 8 15 said, but that on the good ground that day, which in an honest and good heart. So to be honest is not enough, but it is part of the process. So a person must go from being a honest field, must go into being a good field. Good is in different measures. So we must go from good unto good. So it's not just enough that we are becoming good. We must ensure that our good is sustained and being constantly increased and made better. This morning, quickly going into the first subtopic, we have innate corrupt drive that is in every field. So the seed sown within man by the adversary bears every shade of evil, though it may at times appear under subtle shades of good. Its full maturity
is to make man's field evil, his works evil, and his fruit evil. This agenda has prospered within the man's field from generation to generation, manifesting in varying degrees and expressions. To men who have been quickened and whose souls have been purchased, the evil seed remains as tendencies and oftentimes as ungodly traits that have prospered and multiplied within the soul. In the church and households, these lingering tendencies are called corruption. Though we have denied ungodliness, there remains a labor to bring the soul out of this corrupted configuration. This phenomenon is a law inherent in every man, manifesting as a readiness, an inclination toward decay and perishing, tending toward decline, departure, and opposition to God in thoughts, imaginations, and ways, regardless of previous labor bestowed upon the field. Hence, an honest and good field can become corrupted if this inward tendency is not continually judged and dealt with. The love of the world is the catalyst for corruption. Just as an unbeliever yields himself to wicked and unrighteous thoughts, likewise a believer who does not continually and consistently bestow labor upon his field to sever ties with the world would eventually become corrupted and find legitimate reasons to depart. So when you talk about corrupt, you know, when you talk about ungodliness, we say that those things are because of darkness in the heart. So you might not easily identify them. But when you talk about corrupt, you know, is that the level of darkness here is higher. And we can call it gross darkness. You know, gross darkness means very thick darkness. Have you ever wondered how you can have light, yet still be in dark? You can have a measure of light and still be in dark. Meaning that when Christ's light comes, Christ's light is a measure of light that cannot fully deal with the strength of darkness that the soul has fellowshipped with over time. What do I mean by that? Basically, when you look at a corrupt field or a field tending towards corruption, you know, look at when Eve wanted to eat of that fruit. What did she see? What are the three things that fruit promised? It was good for food. It was also what? Pleasant to the eyes. See, it was also a tree to be desired to make one what? Wise. So, a corrupt field is not identified on the external, just like an ungodly field is not identified on the external. But a corrupt field is much more hidden than an ungodly field. When they say the heart of man is desperately wicked above all, who can know it? Now, that desperation in wickedness is corruptness. Because there is a way that it will begin to manifest, and that manifestation will start appearing as being beautiful. That tree was beautiful. That tree had an allure. It had a call. It has something about it that you can desire. So a corrupt field can easily be desired. But when you enter it, it is full of a lot of terrible things. And for you to know that corruption is not just, oh, me, I'm not corrupt. Those people that are corrupt. Corruption is a law, you know, just like you have the law of gravity. Corruption is just like you've made a beautiful or a delicious bowl of eba. And then you went to the market, bought a lot of ingredients, and you made a very top-class soup that has different spirits inside. Different things that you put inside. Now, when you begin to eat that food, at that point, that food is delicious. But what they call corruption is that you don't need to do anything extra for that food to go bad. Just leave it the way it is. That thing will naturally obey a law of decay. That thing, at when you were preparing it, it was very hot, very delicious, but leave it open for 2 days. Now, you didn't do anything bad, right? Just leave it. It will naturally begin to obey a law that is higher than that food. That naturally things begin to come out of it. Those things, where were they before? So when you say corruption, see, that thing is higher than what you do. Hide and what you don't do. That just leave yourself, you'll be corrupt.
Just like when a man is aging in the natural. He begins to obey natural, the body begins to... That's how it is. You will crescendo, then you begin to decline. So you get to a point, they say you have reached your prime. So at your prime, what else is expected? Is that and everybody agrees that it is normal. That thing in the mind that say, I'm old, let the younger ones do it, is a thought of corruption. Just a natural thing, because Adam was never meant to crescendo then decline. God did not have that in mind when he was creating man. That man will get to a point and he begin to decline. And I say, oh, it's because he's old. No. One of the men that I knew fought that thing was Moses. Even in his natural body, he said his natural strength did not abate. So there is an understanding that you have that when some things happen, you say, agbalon shemi. That thought is a thought of corruption. That you have agreed that because I'm at a particular age, it is okay for me to begin to experience certain things. So, I'm not just talking about the body alone. It is both in your soul as well. That natural law that allows you have gone up is okay to come down. Is corruption. So, no matter the work done in the soul, you can be burning hot, blazing fire. But after a while, you just feel it's okay to just reduce the fire. No wonder Jesus Christ was not happy with the church. He said, you have come to a point that I don't expect you to be lukewarm. Lukewarm is that I'm not too hot, but at least I'm still there. Jesus does not want that. He said, I prefer that you're either hot or you are cold. That church was not a baby church. They had journeyed over the years, but they came to a point that said, okay, it's okay, we can begin to do certain things. But Jesus was not pleased with that. Because that thing I was manifesting was a law of corruption. So no matter how much a man is blazing up there, that law must be dealt with though. If not, no matter how far a man goes, that man can still decline. In the book of Deuteronomy 26 verse 5, it says, an Assyrian ready to perish. He was my father. So every man has that readiness to perish. It's not that you want to go and kill yourself, but that readiness to just no longer be in sync with God, to just be out of tune with God, is resident in every man. And the funny thing about it is that we can use manifest works of the flesh to a point that we begin to manifest corruption. Both manifest and hidden works, if they are not dealt with, they want to graduate us into the place of corruption. Now, all these things, looking at the law and nature of corruption, say fallen spirits in all their orders have labored to enact their laws within the field of every man and thereby reproduce their nature. Through principalities, powers, and rulers of darkness, they enforce the law of sin and death to make man ungodly. While spiritual wickedness cultivates the nature of hell and death to make a man corrupt. So that's why you cannot afford to compare ourselves with ourselves and say, oh, well, my own is just this. The other person's own looks small. That one that looks small might be handled by principality. Your own that is not being seen might be gradually tending towards the spiritual wickedness. And the more you are tending towards it, the more hidden they will make it be. The more hidden that work will be. Because something as sexual impurity, somebody can be battling a particular habit and that thing is being powered by a principality. Somebody might be handling that same thing, but he is also in the hand of a ruler of darkness. That's how they do it. Even evil spirits. When you use something to a particular degree, the guy said, sir, can you come and handle this one? They run a shift. They just hand you over to the next higher person. That one will now lead you. After a while, I say, like I say, my work, I need to go and do another work. I'm bored. Next person. And like that, and somebody can use something as fornication till he enters spiritual wickedness. And you'll be wicked in that thing. So there's nothing as it's not just something little. It's not just this. These corrupt laws of iniquity cause the soul to wander far from God and become alienated from his life. This Gentilic soul does not merely violate the laws of life.
It becomes a pattern of continual insistence on one's will, causing departure from God. This seeks to establish continuity and permanence in disorderliness and lawlessness. At some point, when Cain was using certain things, he was still in the presence. He was using certain things. In the presence, sin was lying at his door. But he used it to a point that he by himself went away from that presence. So we can use certain things to a point that we are going to move away. You will so use it that when you think about some things, you just want to go away. And it will cause a departure even from the presence of God. That's why we must be afraid of certain things consistently finding expression through us. We must never be okay. Never. Because that thing has a tendency. When the Lord came to say, where is your brother? He could look the Lord in the face and say, am I my brother's keeper? You begin to have some level of boldness and audacity because you are using something in the secret. The sin lieth at your door. So quickly, let's look at the expressions of a corrupt field. The first one here is preeminence. When a soul is not purged of vainglory, desire for prominence and control, it can resist God's order in the church and household, thereby hindering God's progressive labor within and around them. They engage in evil speaking, corrupting others by speaking against God's servants and brethren who do not conform to their ambitions. So, you know, when we're dealing with vainglory last week, every shade of vainglory, this guy was in the church. You are the one sitting here and you say, I'm taking you to John. John is opening up to you, John. And you are like, oh, God, thank you for John. There were people that were living in the days of John, that John will send them letter. And they will say, no, this one will not go read down for here. So that guy thinks too much of him. So he thinks the only one that has the revelation of Jesus. 3 John 1, 9 to 10. John is saying, I wrote unto the church. But thou, Trephis, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Verse 10. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith. Neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. You don't know what vainglory can become in a man. This man wanted control. We don't know the level of authority that came into his hands. Maybe they entrusted him with something little. Sometimes, the reason why they will tell you to deal with vanity at household level is because eventually, if you don't, when you begin to come into certain levels that they are opening you up to certain realms or certain maybe responsibilities, the desire for control will begin to show up at that point. You don't know how manipulative you can be. We don't know how much of a schemer we can be until certain things are handed over to us in trust. It is then that thing will come up. The way you are thinking of John, the archivist was not seeing John as anything. I know the Lord myself. So why is John sending letters? As maybe himself he doesn't have some revelation himself. So when you are in a household and you see within yourself vainglory, you see the desire for control. And how are you going to see desire for control? An example: you are living with a father and a mother in the house, and somebody new comes into the house, and maybe that person even got instruction that this place you are going, you must go and serve the father or serve the mother of the house. You must ensure that kingdom come. And that person comes to the house ready to serve. But you that you have been in the house, you have tried serving, but you received gasbos. You have done a lot of things, but it looks like, and you see the person, you can call the person and say, hey, you better come. We have been in this your shoe before. We know where this is coming from. Better just calm down. Just calm down. Eh? There is roaster. Do you understand? There is roaster. When it is not your turn, just go and sit down.
You know you can do that. Or you are in your rooms and you are talking about the mother of the house or the father of the house. And you feel that, oh, you are just sharing it because it's our process. But you, there is no... God is using this woman to deal with us. So. I don't know. I don't know. She's never pleased with anything we do. You think that after Evangelia just prayed that God will help us to go through this process well. You sanctify your gossip with word and prayer. So in your heart, you are putting yourself in a position that you are not supposed to be. Say preeminence.
Preeminence.
You want to be seen as a leader that everything is under their control. Do you know that you can even man a particular role such that nobody has access to that role? The way God wants it to be is that if you are not around, somebody else fully understands what you are doing and nobody will miss you. Why do you want to be missed? That heaven will show, as you are doing this thing, you are also showing people, this is what I do. This is how I do it. That when you are stepping out, they are not be like, oh, if the person is around, oh, no, my God. Other people can take it and nobody will miss you. Heaven is happy with you. You can hold on to something and because nobody will even understand what you are doing. Only you. So when they need this, it's only this person that can do it. Oh, that thing is preeminence. So when you enter a place, you say, I'm the only one with this skill here. Okay, other people need to learn it. In case I'm not around, in case I need to travel, what will happen if I'm not around? And is that, does that mean everything will be on hold because I'm not there? So Holy Ghost is already telling you. So that desire to, okay, let other people learn this thing is, they are killing something inside of you. Maybe like, well, if I'm not there, you'll be like, how I wish if this person was here. And when you hear it, you're happy that I served. You did not serve. The true mark of service is that other people can easily step into your role and you are not missed. That's the true mark of service. What happens in the workplaces now? I just want to be like, your guy will be like, no, this person. What happened to training people? What happened to bringing people around and say, this thing, learn it to give them stuff, mentor them, let them be very good, even better than you. That is where they can say, yes, you have truly served. That's what best, when you now begin to see somebody now wanting to by themselves, begin to learn that thing, or wanting to come into that thing, you begin to shield them, begin to give attitude, begin to get angry. Why? It's preeminence. That is not service in the sight of God. That will happen to the Theotrophes. John will send a message. And because of that, you will now receive the brethren. Does that mean the people you are going to be training or teaching, does that mean they will not have their flaws? They are men, they are humans, but they are in a work of change. That's why they also train you that, these people that I'm trying to teach, they don't even want to learn it. But what's the wisdom around it? To carefully, you guys need to know this thing, and you are going around it to ensure that at least two people, three people, they can easily do this thing I'm doing. Even in the house. It's only your jollof rice that everybody is sweet. Once they eat that, I'm like, is this person that made this rice? Someone just say, oh, he's the Lord. Your joy should be that another person can cook that jollof rice much more better than you can. It has been like, this person's not around, that jollof rice is just trash. What this thing rips you off, it rips you off individualism. Yeah. There's a way you can like to do the whole job by yourself. Because you call them, nobody's answering. You just say, I'm just doing it. I'm serving the Lord. No. There's a wisdom Holy Ghost will teach you. Those people are not answering you. You will still keep going after them. Because they must answer. They must learn it. They must know. You must not say, I call them to answer. That's the end. I'll go and sit down. I'll just be doing it by myself. No. That's not what God wants. Lord wants it that you will still keep going after them. Call them, come and do it. They are not doing it. You are tired. You say, okay. I know you are tired, but just do this one thing. This or that thing. That thing, you are ripping yourself of something. You don't want vainglory or preeminence. Because there's a way, it's possible. After you've called people for a while, they don't want to do it to me. I don't have that strength. I'll just keep on doing it myself. God is not even pleased with that thing. That thing you are doing by yourself, God does not like it. So you must now still go back to God and say, what is the wisdom to be able to rally people to work with me? What is the wisdom that this thing that looks like nobody wants to do it, what is the wisdom that they will now become interested in it? What can I say to them? Holy Ghost can ask, okay, buy this thing for this person. Buy that thing for that person. And then you finish cooking a particular meal, you say, okay, you know, this particular meat, this particular thing, call this person, share it with them, joke with. Only going to begin to give you wisdom. Why? That thing, they must also learn it. And you must never be okay with it. You don't want to learn it. That's all. I'm fine with it. I'll be doing it myself. Complacency. Can we say complacency? A state in which the soul becomes self-satisfied and let down in spiritual guard, seeking ease after a season of labor instead of continued diligence, becomes weary and susceptible to doctrines that weaken commitment to spiritual labor, rejects sound doctrine with uncompromising judgment, and withholds from the household of faith. You know, this complacency, that place we talk about, lukewarm. You know, how many of you know that after certain spiritual labor, you feel that there is a need to cool off? It's natural. Okay, there is a need. We have done the work of the Lord. Now let's do. Let's just chill. Let's just relax. And the definition of relaxation is what? Netflix and chill. Not knowing that even the book of Revelation was received while John was chilling. He was chilling the Isle of Patmos now. That isle, it was not an isle. What did they do on isle? Island. An island now. He goes for vacation and there he was chilling. That was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Chilling. And from there, began to see things. So who told us that chilling must be disconnection? We have agreed that chilling is we must disconnect. I want to recalibrate. Now that weariness that comes with, I've done this, and that thing is a law of corruption. Because no man is free from it. Every one of us, after we've done something for a while, we want something else. We want something else. Imagine these people eating the same food for 40 years. Manna from heaven. Manna from heaven. There's no pepper. There's no Maggi. There's no salt. They are not garnishing it. It just come down white like that. They ate it for a while. In fact, they were grateful for a while. How do I know they were grateful? They said, don't pick on 7 day. They still went out to pick on 7 day. Meaning that they liked that food. But after a while, it became tiring. And that's how every of us, so that's how it is. Even to me that I'm standing here. After a while, I want something else. Can I just have something else? And Lord must train us. That law must be dealt with. In the household, hey, complacency. They give a law in the house. Everybody's at it. The first 1 week, you see everybody doing it. 1 week, dude, hey, this, After 1 week like this, hey, it's your turn to sweep. Yeah. We cannot sustain a cycle for a year. We cannot sustain something, even though maybe the first 1 week when you're say, you are doing well, well done. After a while, nobody is telling you well done again. So it's, if you do it, no well done. If you don't do it, no well done. It is natural person will choose not to do it. Or they say, in this household, we mop and we sweep. We sweep and we mop. And say, after the person mopped and sweep yesterday, it's okay. Do we still need to mop today? Let's just sweep it now. Let's just... Every one of us, we have it. We cannot be consistent with something. And Lord must help us. There must be a consistency that we must be able to build. Either you are seen or not seen. It must be between you and God. This thing, I will be doing it. This household chore, that I will continue doing it. Nobody needs to praise me. Nobody needs to know. An example that easily comes to my heart, you know, is those years when we used to pray in daddy's house. You know, there's just one toilet that every one of us likes to use in that sitting room. Because it's always very clean. You will never get there and see it dirty. Every day is washing it. Every day. A lot of us, we just go there. Some people say, when prayer is going on and everybody is standing, you just want to go and relax. You just enter small. Is that clean? It was that clean. Nobody needed to come and be looking at what have you done. There was a consistency. Either you see it, it was just always being done. People don't applaud you, but heaven is recording it. Heaven is seeing it. They are seeing your fight against corruption. That thing is corruption. It's a natural tendency. We are high. After a while, we decline. Because we have excuses, genuine reasons. We are no longer sustaining that temple. Every one of us, we have that state. Love of the wages of unrighteousness. Last week, we spoke about desire for riches, right? If that thing is not dealt with, it's going somewhere. Balaam was a prophet. They said he will see God without closing his eyes. When they spoke about Balaam, he was an oraculous prophet. When Moses was talking about Balaam, he said, "The Lord that delivered us from the hand of this Balaam." That was how high that prophet was. He was not a babalawo. Some people think, but the Balaam was having visions of God with his eyes open. You know that he sleeps and falls into a trance. Eyes open. He knows what to do. That God cannot say no. This man had secrets of God. He had secrets to call God, but he had love for wages of unrighteousness. Began as love for desire for riches. Numbers. He has said, which had the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. This is Balaam. This is Balaam. The love for money and for what it can do can ultimately morph into betrayal of God's standard for temporal gain and pleasure. Such souls readily renounce the judgment set forth by doctrine in their dealings with unrighteous mammon. And I wrote some things down here that this love for wages of unrighteousness can be. One of the things I noticed about Balaam is that God had told him, don't go. Right?
Yes, sir.
What happened? When the bargain was higher, he went back to renegotiate with God. When a standard is raised, and you see that tendency that want to negotiate it, that is closer to a wage of unrighteousness. When a standard in the household is raised, or in the church, but then you keep going back, it's not supposed to be as hard as this now. Why would, okay, if we look at it like this, I think that thing, because there's something is doing to you, you want to see how you can circumvent it. That thing is already showing you that you are tending in that direction. When Balaam eventually got there, he will go to the right. God will say, don't curse my people. He will go to the left. What was he doing? He was seeking loopholes. If you are a person that you can seek loopholes in a place so that it can meet your own personal desire, you're already on that journey. You can seek loopholes. They said this, but they did not explicitly say this. You are already seeking loopholes, and that thing is a law for the wages of unrighteousness. Because you want to satisfy something. Another thing I saw, when the unity of the Spirit does not pay you, you're in a household and certain standards don't pay you. You will seek for a way. Because when he saw them, Israel said the shout of a king is in their midst. There was unity, there was oneness, but it did not pay Balaam. He did not pay Balaam. Balaam would have been more happy if he was able to find a loophole and scatter them, because he would get more money. So when certain instructions that causes unity, that brings people together, that causes friends, if it doesn't pay you, you begin to find a way to see how you can break them apart. You want to see how you can bring yourself into their midst. You want to wedge a hole between them. But he taught Balak. That wisdom came from somewhere. That God is with these people. But you will not have an understanding of how to cause separation. So discord. That is what causes sowing of discord amidst brethren. Because that thing does not pay you. The next one here is sexual perversions. Can we say sexual perversions? This is the perversion of God's natural order for sexual purity, whereby a soul is given to affections, desires, or practices contrary to nature and to the order ordained by God. You can see that in Romans chapter 1, verse 24 to 27. One of the things that was very clear during our review was that, you know, during the manifest works of the flesh that we're talking about 2 Sundays ago, we mentioned something. We called it sexual impurity. Where sexual impurity wants to take a man or a generation to is perversion. Why? What does that mean? If a person is using a particular work of the flesh, let's say pornography or masturbation, just like a person that is using hard drugs, the substances that he used that brought him to a particular level yesterday will not be enough to sustain that same feeling for today. That ecstasy, you cannot use the same thing and still reach and still get to that crescendo. So you must continuously increase what you are using to be able to sustain that level you want to attain. That same thing, sexual impurity. The same thing you did yesterday will not be enough for you today. And imagine that person now continues like that and now gets married. The wife will never be able to satisfy him. Or the husband will never be able to satisfy her. Why? Because the body has used some things to a level that what will satisfy a normal person can no longer satisfy that person. So that flesh has graduated. That flesh is no longer ordinary flesh. It has used some things to a point that the normal thing that should satisfy a man is no longer satisfying him. So when you see people now begin to take steps because they still want that pleasure, but they are not getting it in one woman, you now begin to hear things like, we are in an open marriage. That's perversion. Because one woman can no longer satisfy you. So both husband and wife have agreed that as long as we are in this marriage, I can go and I can meet other people. You two can meet other people and nobody's angry. But we only stay together in the house under this contract of marriage. That's a perversion. Some people will go as far as bestiality. Sleeping with bees because the mind has been depraved. You don't know the reason why we are shouting that you must fight that thing as a demon. You don't know the extent it can drag your mind into. You don't know the extent it can drag your mind into. That place said, men burning with lust towards fellow men. What brought them there? There was something a woman could no longer give them. All those things are shades of corrupt field. Because when you use that thing to a level, you begin to go against natural order. The natural use will no longer be okay with you. You will see men, they will go to a place and they will exchange their wives. Let me see how your wife feels. You can also have my wife. My brother and sister, you see, the reason why we must fight to guide our minds. Men are breaking barriers. Men are breaking boundaries of what God has set. Ancient landmarks are being removed in the minds of men. In the minds of men. There's no limit to what can be done once that barrier has been broken. No limit. No limit. Let's just read that Romans chapter 1, 24 to 27. Let's just read it. So wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Say to dishonor. Kai. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves.
who changed the truth of God into a lie. So there was a progression. They started with dishonoring their own bodies first. They were dishonoring their body consistently before they entered the next phase. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, bond in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. Next one here is covetousness and idolatry. The soul can idolize anything, including spiritual attainments and privileges. Hence, Paul counted his former gains as loss and pressed towards the things that were ahead. The tendency to covet beyond the measure of grace is rooted in idolatry, which exalts the value of things, perceptions, or self above God. An idolatry. Covetousness begins from manifest works of the flesh. When a man sees something that is done and he steals it, takes it, and all those things, even till ungodliness, there's covetousness there. But at this point of covetousness and idolatry, a soul can exalt or idolize his journey with the Lord. Hallelujah. Such that some people's God told me, like what that is. when you say God told me, everybody would have to put their hands at their back. Say, God told me this, God told me that. No, I have a book somewhere in my house that when I go back and I see the things that God told me, I'm grateful for the gift of spiritual oversight. Archive of God told me, which at that point was very good. But there are some things that judgment will help you to know that, oh, I was not interpreting well. I was not getting it. So that your spiritual attainment that you feel you are having, at some point, I don't want to use the word, heaven wants to like rubbish it. It's not rubbish. They want to recalibrate you. So at some point, they need to make you begin to wash your hands off it. Because they want to bring you into another estate. They want to bring you into another estate. So at that point, if you continue like that, that thing, there's a sin of people that have eyes. Like what our mommy used to say. Say, Shawantoluju. Is that certain things around you, can we say amen?
Amen.
Certain things around you, you can exalt them above what the Lord even wants to do at that particular time. In fact, what God has said can be an enemy of what God is saying right now. We can covet certain graces. We can covet certain things. Why is it bad to covet certain things? No, is it bad to desire certain? No. But covetousness now means that you are looking for it out of order. You are pursuing certain things out of order. You can fast and pray because of covetousness. You can do spiritual activities because of covetousness. Say, let every man not think highly of himself, much more than the grace that has been given to him. So when your mind begins to go into certain things, the Lord must help you to, by humility of heart, begin to bring yourself down from the high horse and say, no, no. Say, a certain prayer that you should not pray, that you might never recover from it. Say, I want to see into the angelic world. I want to see this. Open my eyes, God. Open my eyes, God. Only they was praying that kind of prayer. Open my eyes, God. Open my eyes, God. The room just turned dark. Everyone began to vibrate. Say, God, close my eyes. God, close my eyes. I don't want to again. How does this apply in a household? How? You come into a house and then there's somebody that probably Obviously. It might not even be maybe where there's husband and wife. It might just be sisters staying together, brothers staying together. And it's very certain that the grace of leadership is on one person. But you will not want to submit to it. You want to be the one that everybody is looking to. You want to be that center that everybody is. And that thing, I knew that thing, I had it in school. There were certain men that when service is going on, worship everywhere, everybody is burning. You see them sitting down. And some of us that we, because they were the height of spirituality, because we were just coming, we did not know anything. There were people that everybody is saying that, you know, they had certain nicknames that everybody knew that, this one, they know God. Worship is going, everybody is singing, they will just sit down. Me too, I don't know anything. Me too, I will sit down too. That's in diversion of attention to yourself. Why are you doing that? Why? To what extent? What is the reason? So that when our president is preaching like that, we are looking at their faces. Are they smiling? Are they serious? Are they accepting what he's saying? Because we do not know. If they are not smiling, which we are not smiling. This thing will not allow us to discern order in the spirit. Not allow us to know that there's a grace on somebody for this and align ourselves. You know, to be able to hunt, because why? That idolatry, you are idolizing yourself. You can idolize an ideology of yourself. You can idolize a thought about yourself. When the scripture says condescend to men of low estate, why? Because you can think of yourself so high that there are certain people you distance yourself from. Certain things you don't want to be part of. There are certain, you know, you just want to just be by yourself. That's the computer I was saying, that they isolate themselves. We have presumptuous sins. And these are bold, willful acts of rebellion when it so knowingly transgresses and crosses boundaries, presuming that, as in previous times, repentance will always be available, or that past misdemeanors will not attract immediate judgment. They despise government within the church and household. One of the sins of Judas was presumption. That thing that I did, he was bold about it, right? You know that he went to kill himself. Why did he kill himself? Because this is the man that you have always seen. At some point, he said something. They wanted to throw him off the cliff. All of them were like, blasphemy. As they were coming towards him, they said Jesus Christ walked in the midst of them. Jesus. So, Papa, why you poor girl? Because they wanted to kill him. He would just disappear. They took him to the very edge of the cliff. Imagine taking somebody. They were holding his hand. We will kill you today. Go to the edge of the cliff. Oh yeah, push him. He just walked among them. All of them. I don't know what happened. You know, this thing that came to my mind is when this particular guy, Flash, when he's running. You know how everybody's world becomes like slow motion? Like, that's what I just thought about. Like, maybe Jesus was, as he wanted to train like this. He just, everybody was just, by the time they looked at him, he was not there again. Where is Jesus? Nobody can see him again. Imagine fellowship with that man for a while. But the love for money that this guy has, I can use it to do business. And that very day, when he was kissing Jesus and just saying, do you betray me? In his mind, I've collected money. Show yourself. Do as you used to do. Do magic. And before his very eyes, walk. Yeah? Jesus, what's happened? If I said, Jesus fell down. What's happening? In his mind, I'm sure he did not expect crucifixion. Was expecting that Jesus Christ has normal. We just do that thing again that I used to do. And everybody be like, wow. Say, Jesus, we know you. But because of that thing, before his eyes, crown of thorns, What made him kill himself? He did not believe it. This same Jesus, what happened? That's why a man will use certain things to a particular point. You will feel that you will find repentance. At some point, you will no longer find it again. He said, Esau sought repentance with tears.
but he could no longer see it again. Only God knows how many things Esau had been trading. Only God knows how many things Esau had been despising. But the day that he despised something, he no longer found it, even when he was crying. At some point, crying is no longer means you find repentance. So when you are beginning to become bold in some things, be careful. Be careful. When you are seeing some boldness in certain things, be careful. Be careful, because that thing that you are using, that thing, they say that some people, they willfully trampled upon the Son of God. That trampling did not come as a result of one day use. They have been trampling over time. They have been trampling instructions, trampling commandments, saying, no. But at a point came that they no longer found room for repentance. Willful act of rebellion. Boldness. And that place, in the book of Psalm, was saying that, deliver me from presumptuous. But before that, he said that, deliver me from secret faults. So you will use secret faults to a point before you become presumptuous. He said, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. If we continue in presumption, we are going to be guilty of great transgression. That's called the cursed field. Can we say amen? Amen. Double-mindedness, this is an unstable condition of the soul where there is a divide between the will of God and competing desires, affection, or interest because of friendship with the world. You can see that in James chapter 1, verse 8. See, friendship with the world is enmity against God. See, adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. We have every evil work, fornication, adultery, sexual perversions, all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, envies, every manifest and hidden evil work constitute the filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness that James exhorts believers to lay aside, lest they be hindered from receiving the engrafted word, which is able to bring the soul into great harvest. Or another word, which is able to save the soul. Let's look at James chapter 1, verse 20. So wherefore lay apart all filthiness. This filthiness is both filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save you. So meaning that there are certain measures of word we will not receive, will not come into, except we are able to lay apart. So that's why you must not think there's anything as, when you talk about malice, there are shades of malice. No, malice has shades. There's the obvious one that everybody knows that you are fighting this person. But then another seed of malice that can even happen between spiritual people. Yes. There's a kind of malice you can have. It's not the outright I'm fighting you kind of malice. So anyway, I have to deal with myself. Now you will sit down, your brother will be ministering, and it is the errors you are seeing. That, he didn't say this one well. Oh, you could have done this. Oh, you could have put this one. Okay, it's fine. He tried. Those are shades of malice. Those are shades of malice. Those things show that this soul is corrupt, or this soul is tending towards corruption, are often the springboard to other work of corruption. And Satan tends to defy many within the household and the church by this. You can see all these things bring out the root of bitterness. Say root of bitterness. What is a root? Root is not sin. But hidden deep down. The reason why they say you must continue working on yourself, you must never relent, is that the brethren you are relating with every day, the people you are talking to, spiritual authority, there will be always something that the enemy can take and expand and cause
bitterness to begin to fount in your heart. Always something. Always something. And if you are not diligent in worrying, you will see that after a while, you are not doing anything. No. As I said, law of corruption. You just, I don't do anything. Don't just be okay. Just keep okay. Even some forbearing that you are forbearing. It's not that you are forbearing. There is a forbearing. Let's just do it too, so that they will not talk about us. Let's just do it too, so I'll not become the talk of the town. Let's just do it too, at least. It's not because you are actively working on your heart. But you're actively working on your heart. When you wake up in the morning, when you something comes into your heart, you must hold it. Hey, where are you coming from? Who are you? It doesn't just flash in your heart. I service. And you say, your brother. Say, how? How is it doing eye service? Why did I think of that thought? Why is it in my heart? What is this Holy Ghost? That thing. You are not allowing anything to just pass. Because God, mercy, Lord Jesus. Your heart must not be a highway, a wrong way for the adversary. Some thoughts run across. You must hold them. You must have custom officers. That when the thought comes, you hold it. Say, where are you coming from? Where are you going to? But when they see that they can run through your heart and they can just go, this one has gone through. Oh yeah, another one. And you really begin to see those things. So that brother, he always greets this person very well, but he doesn't respond to you very well. Look at it again. Say, no. What happens to he greets me? Say, he doesn't greet you. Go and greet him. Brother, good morning. Brother, didn't answer you. Sir, I am greeting you, sir. Brother turns away. Sir, don't be angry. But I am greeting. That brother said, I don't want to greet you, sir. You must greet me. What did I do, sir? We must greet. Not say, he said he doesn't want to greet me. That confirms it. No, that has not confirmed anything. You don't want to greet me, sir. What did I do? I'm sorry, sir. Because some things must not thrive. You must not keep some things in the corners of your heart. Nothing about your brother, nothing about your sister must be kept in your heart, and the enemy will keep on coming. He will keep on coming. So, that's how they give this person a microphone to sing. They're not giving the mic to sing. I've been here for how many months? I've been here for how many years? We started this church together. We were foundational stones. We're foundational stones. But the person that just come in, that daddy is even hugging. Hey, yes, yeah. You. Hey, are you not his daughter? Maybe I'm not. Daughters know themselves. That thing. Is a corrupt field. That is beginning to talk. You must fight it. Say, daddy loves me. Even if daddy does not hug me. I will go, daddy, I greet you, sir. Daddy, good morning, sir. You must fight it with your everything.
Thank you, Jesus. Sana kakasi broho perene seke puntai. Zaibuna tevina tambu jalaka. Seke teno tito tono piko tono bolo no yogon soprena. Give no room. Give him no room. Yeah. Your field is precious. It's precious to me. Yeah, so it should be precious to you. It's not a ground for any such that edifieth not. Yeah, any evil seed. Yeah, your field is not for such. It's not for such. Yeah, so you should guard up. guard up. You should guard up. Give no room. Give no room. Give no space. Give no landing point. Give no landing point, even on your field. For such, even for such to thrive. Even for such, even to find roots. Yeah, even for such to be sown. Give no room. Give no room. Take heed, take heed, take heed to your field. Take heed to that which is being done, even upon your ground, yea, upon your heart, yea, transactions, transactions here and there, yea, traffickings, traffickings here and there. Take charge, take guard, take guard, take guard. Mikopanion zentoprian setiliemantai. Giving you tools. I'm giving you tools. I'm giving you tools. I'm giving you tools. Even for gardening. Even for cultivation. Even for to cultivate your ground. Even for to grow this ground. Even for to guard this ground. Even to guard. It's for to guard. Ensure that no such tribes. No such tribes. Yeah, be on your watch. Be on your watch. Stand upon your watch. Stand upon your watch. For this field is precious to me. It's precious to me. I will come. I will come. I will come again and again. I will come again and again for to reap of this field. But yea, see that you have guarded. See that you have cultivated this ground even to my pleasure. Even to my pleasing. Even to my pleasing. See the Spirit of God.
Hallelujah. Fervent charity. Making the field fit for the incorruptible seed. Where they want to plant, really, where they have been, why they've been working on all our field is to bring us into this kind of field that can bear, nurture, and, you know, grow the incorruptible seed. But this can be done without fervent charity. Can you say fervent charity? The incorruptible seed which produces the great harvest is received, nurtured, and brought to maturity only in a field where the law of Christ has taken full effect. And charity is fervently practiced. This requires dying daily to one's will, desires, and pursuits, consistently bearing the burdens of others. Every member within homes, households, and church expressions must engage in the labor and warfare required for unfeigned love to become a way of life. And beyond this, grow into fervent love that seeks the edification of others rather than self-gratification, advantage, or prominence. Hence, heaven orders circumstances and relationships that stretch each member beyond natural limits in hospitality and loving of the brethren. This enlarges the capacity to consistently cover offenses without taking offense. That's why they say charity covers a multitude of sin. While seeking restoration in the spirit of meekness, this makes the field divine. The everlasting light, which is good and perfect, shines to expose and uproot every residue and hold of manifest and hidden works of ungodliness that have endured from previous seasons within the field. Thus, every shade of such corruption is discovered and purged. However, any field that passes through this season without yielding to change is rejected and will ultimately fall into desolation. You know, so fervent charity, as we've seen, 1 Corinthians 13 speaks about charity. You know, and that's one of the things that, you know, we must see. That though I give my body to be burnt, though I do this, though I do that, though I speak in tongues of men and not of angels, I might do many things but not have charity. Then he now began to now show charity does this. Charity suffers long and is kind. Can you suffer long? How you measure your work is by the fruit of the Spirit. Begin to judge yourself based on these things. Each step you take, does what I'm doing, does it have temperance? What I'm about to say, does it have meekness? Does it carry these signs? All these things, we must do them over and over and over within the church and within our households. I just want us to just pray this morning. You know that in all those places that are being exposed to you, that the Lord will help you to be able to walk contrary to them and to use fervent charity. Let's just pray this morning.
Can we respond to Jesus? Can we respond to Jesus? Can we respond to Jesus? This call for prayers that the Lord will help us to pay attention. The Lord will help us. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. The season we have, the Lord does not want us to be ignorant. And that is the reason why He's touching down on everywhere the enemy is hiding. We dealt with godly field last week. This is corrupt field. And we saw how this thing can even prosper, even under light. Because if a man do not take heed, you know, and feel that because we are in a place like this and not taking what is being supplied as what to work with, you know, there's a way we can work in assumption. And they say, like, it's not in the Bible, say assumption is costly, right? But truly it's costly. Yeah, because if a man continually assume that is what is not, because every work will be tested, and what a man carry on his inside, you know, situations will actually reveal it. I just want to mention one thing that stood out, complacency. You know, this is where issue is with most of us. Anytime you are weary of well doing, it says sin light at your door. Or any time you fail to do it well. And that was the problem with Cain. You know, a man can think that he's doing so much, you know, and this has always been the place for a sojourner. Because when you come before the Lord, you know, haven't done all, you know, the place of the Lord is that you are still not measuring. And he's not trying to talk down on you. Or be hard on you. Thank you, sir. He just wants you to be like him. If you are going to be like him, and the work does not measure up, and you know we are now being told there is a way the heart can be weary, and that thing is actually corrupt feed. That thing is corruption on the inside. You know, and I discovered that anybody can be caught in that web. If we don't have the focus, you know, that the Lord actually wants us to be like him. Look at what he did to his own begotten son. Because the agenda is that man, the kind of man he wanted to raise in Jesus, will be an express image. So because of that, 99.5% is not a pass mark in the spirit. So, and that is why is very, very important, you know, for us to be ready for correction, even when you feel that we have done harm. And this can happen in household. Thank God the topic is actually addressing issues in the church and in the household. Because there is that which the Lord wants to really, really achieve. And if it's not measuring up, it's not because he found a fault in it. It's because that work has a fault. You know, there's a belief that they found a fault in what I did. It's because the work has a fault. So if the work is not complete, it's with a fault. You know, that really, really stood out for me. And I also want to just emphasize this, like Pastor said, the place of presumptuous sin is a very serious matter. We read Psalms 19. You know, pastors talk about secret fault. Because do not forget that these are hidden works. When he says something is hidden, is higher than the visible work. The godly work, because they are still members, so as members. We are not talking about hidden, the ones that if you don't give deliberate attention to it, you won't know that it's there. Because there are actually tendencies in the soul. There are tendencies in the soul that we need somebody, we need higher light. And that's why sometimes thank God for, you know, how God, you know, is coming to us with more light. The reason for that is for us to know that even with the level of work that has been done inside of us, there is still a level of darkness. Hallelujah. And that is why we need to really pay attention. We can't be doing things willfully. We are going to graduate, oh. The reason why you don't copy, just the day that compare themselves with themselves are not wise.
You know, there's a way you can see that somebody is being disorderly in a manner, and you also want to be to do that thing. Because you feel the person is doing it and is escaping. And it's even possible that the leadership might be seeing such a person and they will not talk. And because you feel that you are not talking about it, you now want to take a clip. You just want to kill behind the person. Because you don't know where the person is operating the work from. A person can be, you know, working in fornication from the place of corruption. Because he has used it and used it and used it. And like that person said, one thing is common about people, like they are bold to talk to anybody. Whenever you are exercising every evil work, irrespective of how little it might be, and there is no remorse, even in doing it, like Pastor said, issue has already arrived. It's not that it's coming, it's already here. And that is why we must continually work on ourselves. And lastly, in the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffers violence. If we are not violent with our love work, the real violence is in the spirit. A violent man is actually, it's not a man that is doing like this. Hey, that is holding, you know, holding. No. That's not how to be violent. I need to be violent to not to be bitter with my wife. Colossians says that. Some of us, we are not violent with works. And that is why those works still remain. Because we give excuses. When it comes to corrupt feed, one of it is, I love your wife, and be not bitter against them. There are many things your wife will do that will make you to be bitter. And you have reason to be bitter. But in the spirit, they will say, ye man, ye are inexcusable. So, it's a call to violence. If there's anything that is coming so strongly to mind, it's a what? Call to violence. Not to excuse again. Not to excuse. You know, and that scripture also came, it is good that the heart be established with grace. We know what is in grace is faith and love. Nobody loves without faith. You know, faith is not feeling. Faith is not what I see. And that's why you need to learn faith to come to love. He said, we not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines, for it is good thing. Everybody said, good thing.
Good thing.
That they have been established again, not with meat, which have not profited them, that have been occupied therein. We need to know that there is a level of grace that has been measured to our heart. You know, that has been neighboring and on how we need to be good. There's a way I can take that teaching or I assume that I'm already there. But I'm not there yet. And that's why it's a daily walk. Paul say, I die daily. If a man will really, really deal with corruption, there should be daily check and deliberateness that the heart is receiving grace. To be established means that is what? Is abiding. It's not what just come once in a while. And this should be our focus. Because the Lord, the call in this season, you know, is for all of us to walk on our feet. To be a fellow laborer with God. According to that 1 Corinthians 3, that has been the anchor scripture. That God is a laborer. Jesus said, I walk. Peter told my father, I work it. So they are all workers. You know, it's a call for all of us to roll up our sleeve. You know what? To also work. That work there is to what? To labor. So that art can be full of. Can we respond to Jesus this morning?
Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' name we are prayed. I love the way the Lord is shedding light. We now know what we must pay very serious attention to. One of the things that you must trust heaven to, especially in the place of corrupt freed, one thing that I know, if any man can walk upon it, you will always find mercy on other area, especially when it has to do with the area of complacency. Spiritual complacency, that thing is corruption. And spiritual complacency, first of all, has to do with the mind and the heart. Another for complacency is inability for you to stay with something. In fact, the Lord was calling my attention to that. And you see, you think we are on earth to do business, to go to work, to make money? You think that is why we are here? God took a nation, almost 5 million men, into wilderness. He didn't do any work. Because he said it's when you settle down that you can be cultivating something. 40 years. I mean, imagine you carry 5 million men. And if they have 5 million men, you can be sure of women. That women be more than men. Because in the Hebrews, the Jews, they don't count women and children. They only count sons. Because those who understand it, feel that maybe Bible is a patriarchal. No, it's because men carry seed. And God is a God of seed. That's why they majorly they pay attention to men and male child in the family. Because they are the one that bear the seed. So that's why. So you must know that while you're on earth, he took a whole nation of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness. And he was feeding them. He was clothing them. He was giving them water when they need to drink. In fact, God was warming them up. God brought eating. I've not gone to wilderness before. You call it Agiju in Yoruba. But I've been to a mountain in a forest to go and pray. I've been there. Immediately it was 1 p.m. I ran away from the mountain. Middle of the night. I ran away from the mountain. Because the kind of breeze. You need to be on mountain by midnight for you to know the kind. You see, you don't know breeze. Get to mountain middle of the night. That's why I marvel who kind of person is Jesus. It's a regular thing for Joker to go and pray early hour. And it's not because some people have taken it, but they know because Joker does not have a rented house. That's why you go to the mountain to go and pray. Some people have, when you pray on the mountain, they have answer fast. It's not because of that. You don't have, say, first ask, oh, best after the son of man has no where to lay his head. So Joker doesn't have any rented house because he's always moving. Today, he's in Judea. He can stay there for 3 days. Next tomorrow, he said, he's ready to, pass through a city, Samaria. He was just moving. He was into moving ministry. But you find something that God did it for 40 years. He took multitude to wilderness, 5 million men, and was feeding them. I want you to know something. Because oftentimes, we don't know that there are priorities. You see, and God expects us to know that very clearly that why you are on earth is not for what Paul told Timothy are fears of this life. Or another version call it, you can be entangled. Say entangled. It's possible to be entangled with the affairs of this life. The life that is passing away. And that's not your life. He call it ordinary business. It's ordinary. Ordinary with a civilian life. That was his divine civilian life, but really, really his carnal life. That's how, when they are using a peaceful word to describe everything we're doing here. Going to business, going to work, doing business, giving birth to children, raising them, building house, buying physical land. They are carnal. You will hear John, Epistle John, say, whosoever have this carnal goose. That's what they call it. Another person call it, we have this worldly goods. Good. But we are not here to spend our life. And the way you are, when you are working, and your heart and your mind, your soul, your business is in it. Let me show you something about who David was. You know, there's nothing as complicated as all of us know. We know the way our government people are busy. Maybe you know that if you are a government, if you're a commissioner, a commission, even a palm sec alone, that's not even a commissioner. You know they can be so busy. You will come out by 12, you still see crowd. They want to see governor because some people have been there since 6 a.m. They've not seen 6, 7 a.m. sort of you see her car driving out of the house at that odd hour, because they are meeting upon meeting, because different people want to see them. So I wanted to show you something in the life of David, that for you to know this, that God will not take anything less from us as a saint, because he lived as an Old Testament saint. And New Testament expectation is higher than that, because they have given us more grace. So why heaven can set higher bar for us? Because we have more grace that was not available in Old Testament. So I want to show us something. For us to know the manner of God's expectation, the kind of who David is, that thing was scary. So that we can know God's expectation in a day. Psalm 119. 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. You know, we have the other religion. How many times do they pray in a day? But David said he does 7 times. When he say praise thee there, not that you use tambourine and sing some hallelujah. He said 7 times. I mean, in the old day, I'm trying to say something, because you know that to run a kingdom is serious. Because many people that want to receive judgment from you, people that come from matter of the kingdom, and you are not just running a kingdom, you are running 12 provinces. You know that he was a king over 12 tribes. By the time David was a king, the population in Israel was already running 2 million. How do I know? Because it asked Joab to go and count the people. Go and see the censor. And Joab did not count armies. Because he told him to count everybody. Joab decided not to count the armies on every tribe. And Joab did not even touch the Levites. Because Joab was not happy what David wanted to do. Joab said that, my God, God has made your people so mad. Why do you want to count them? Why do you want to sin against God? Joab know that David don't do this thing. So if you go, they were 800,000. Very men that drew the sword. And men of Judea were 500,000. So can you see, these are millions. And Joab did not count some people. So imagine a man that is managing sin. And he now said, 7 times in a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgment. It's because he knew what is more important in life. He even knew that the kingdom is not as important as the righteous judgment. And that was the problem that Solomon had. Solomon did not pay attention to what you have to pay attention to. Solomon was very wise, but he did not pay attention to what is most important. In fact, New Testament is called Covenant of Grace. In the Old Testament, they don't have the kind of grace we have. Holy Ghost was not living on the inside. Holy Ghost was living with them, not in them. And the man says, 7 times a day do I praise thee. And he was consistent with it. It happened twice in Acts of Apostle. It happened first time. You know, when the church started going, apostles were still going to the temple to go and pray. That's what they are. You see, I'm trying to tell us about commitment to our feet. Commitment to our soul. That we are not on earth to come and do business. To come and do business. And now have a justification. Because I'm talking about, this is where complacence step in. Because you feel that, maybe I've done my morning devotion in 1 hour in the morning. Why should I also now create something to join by 11? Why should I create another thing to join by 4? Or maybe another thing to join by 5:30? I've tried now. Have I not tried? They want to kiss somebody. I'm telling you, it's not like that. It's not like that. You see, just know today that it's not like that. Even the apostle, I'm talking about David, a man that was running kingdom. I'm not running kingdom. I'm not running a kingdom.
What am I running? Just running this, the thank God, God's people, because you can't measure God's word. Because this is not a kingdom, but nothing as busy as running a kingdom. And I show you to you the what Joab counted the people. That was just how many what? 1.3 million already. And Joab did not count he didn't count all the Levites. He didn't count men. He said, he didn't count women and children. He left them from the censor. And the man said, seven times in a day. And you can be sure of David, that David don't do 20 minutes, 15 minutes. You can be sure of him, because he's one of the spirits. He's one of the Swiss psalmist. You can be sure that when he plug into the spirits, he can be there for hours. And he will come and attend to the, I will come and attend to his kingdom business. He come and attend to our fear of the kingdom. And go, as he's doing our fear of the kingdom, something means to come in. And whenever he feels restless, I know that he must just say, excuse me. Son, my lover is calling you. He has gone there. Seven times in a day. And it was not like that. Look at me. Why do I am I saying this? Holy Ghost told me. Holy Ghost said, when I say, it shall come to pass in the book of Amos, that I will raise again the tabernacle of David that is in you. Tabernacle of David and men like David the cat. That's the something that is in you. Then he said, it shall come to pass. Look at it. He wrote it in Amos 9. He wrote in Acts of Apostles 9. If people are not like this, God wants us to finish this thing in our generation. You see, but it's not by mouth. You know, it's not mouth. Because I can let you remember when we're in campus, we used to call ourselves ultimate generation. You see, it's not about talk. It is about the people that their art do the work. It's not sufficient to do the will of God. Can you finish it? My meeting is to do the will of you who has sent me and to finish. It's the finishing. The tabernacle of David that we reason this last day. Amen. That their soul is like David's soul. That's the tabernacle of David. It's the kind of soul of David. That the man will say seven times. And I say, when he says, I praise you there, he's not singing song. He's talking about engagements. I talk about soul engagement. He was engaging God's righteous judgment. Because David was the man that he sold out to the will of God. I find David a man after my heart. Eh? What is the condition, everybody? Eh? Who shall I do? Oh, you see, somebody can do something to quarter and don't finish it. Oh. I want us to be known as a people that like to do something and finish it. Don't just do something. Or you're a person that in the church, you should not be a Christian that they macromanage. Hey. No, don't be a Christian like that. Your set pastor to micromanage you, your discipleship center or disciple to micromanage you. And oftentimes we feel we know there's no Satan is bad. Satan is bad. There's something with the Satan. We are talking about corruption. Because corruption, we don't know. This is corruption. We just have something we know that I'm tired. Why should I wake up by 5:45 and spend time to commune with the Lord? Truly, you are tired. You are tired. If you have a delivery in your workplace to do by 8 a.m., you have 8 a.m. meeting because you are collecting salary of 750, but you are tired though. Won't you wake up and do that and get your presentation ready? Are you going to go and meet your CEO and tell them I'm tired? That's when you will know that 3 hours sleep can be enough. You see, this is where things of dishonesty lies. Because you know it, that if it is about gain, when we are talking about corrupt feet, as wages of unrighteousness, wages of unrighteousness, because you don't see wages in labor that you bestow on God's righteous judgment. You feel that we can still do it later. Tabashi, listen, ask padawaba. You know that thing, ask padawaba. Those things, I feel like that, but I know. Okay, these are roots of corruption. That Isaiah chapter 40. When he was talking about the everlasting God, when a man have dealt with corruption on his inside, the way is wire. That thing is a soul that they have dealt with corruption on the inside. Had I not known a God, incorruptible God, incorruption. Look at, had I not known, had I not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth fainteth not. What makes a man faint is corruption. When every time you say, I've tried. We do generally fast and finish. You say, all the food I've not been eating. You want to go back and attack every fear that I'll suffer. You know, we do not see fasting as a life. We see it as punishment. You know, when our concept of spirituality is a punishment, we do not see that it should be our default way of life. I feel that Paul, the last of Paul, they arrive at that point. Paul will say, fasting often. When he says it's often, that means he says he does. Because a lot of people say revelation, you don't need to fast. No, I say me, I don't know. I don't like Paul said in Second Corinthians, in the season of the mirror, the season of the face ministry, beholding. Second Corinthians, it's not First Corinthians. If it's all the say maybe he's trying to teach them fasting and prayer so they can deal with words of the flesh that they had. It's the Second Corinthians chapter 11. In chapter 10, he taught our warfare are not carnal, but mighty God. So he was teaching spiritual warfare in chapter 10 of Second Corinthians. In chapter 11, he now said that in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often. You know that this fasting often was not hunger and thirst. So he separated them. He separated them when he didn't have food to eat. He didn't convert hunger strike to fasting. So he separated them so that you're not confused. So in hunger and thirst, the time I'm hungry and thirsty because it's something to eat. But there are also times where I was and fasting often. This is a New Testament apostle. So I don't know what New Testament level you have that you are not fasting. Yeah, what apostle is fasting? I don't know. So our grace are born in America. I can just do my making. So you can see to him, there are things that we don't see as our life. And those things that make us not to see those things as our life, that we feel that it's a sacrifice. But we don't see that in our life. Those are where corruption hides. So we just want to use it and dump it and say we are free. But we don't know that those are lives that heaven designed and subject us under. And it should be a life that we are living. And we are not designed to come out of it. Because we know that in that, they will keep breaking something off from us. And they will be configuring us into what kind of a man God has in mind for us. So he said in that book of Isaiah, chapter 40 that we're reading, that look at who the Lord is. The creator of the ends of the earth. The everlasting God. And you want to have everlasting life. So if you have everlasting life, you'll be like everlasting God. And it's the character and the nature of everlasting God. The creator of the ends of the earth. Because you want to have a sign that have everlasting life. This is the trait of everlasting God. He fainteth not. So every time you faint, you start something. You know, of us, we start early. We are going to read Bible throughout this year. You start reading it. By the time you read the 15th or 10th of the month, you are no longer continue. That thing is corruption. It's corruption. James was talking about that. He said, a flower. He said, at evening, it fall. That thing, that thing just fall. And you do it. And you don't repent out of it. You do it. And you don't see it as something that you must fight. You do it. You're not consistent, Thompson. You're not consistent. You use your land to beat yourself. And that's what you leave it there. You know, to God, you have not done anything about it. And another thing will come. You will still do that again. You will do it for 2 weeks and leave it again. They give you commandment in your household. Husband, make sure your commandment is to iron your wife's clothes. You're only ironing once in a while. You cannot stay with that commandment to keep ironing until you become washerman. That you are doing it and until you that thing become your nature. It's not about ironing. There's something, the nature they want to inculcate in you. Is that not to be your nature? So when we are talking about corruption, corruption is not obviously what you think it is. There are things that does not make us be like God. And sons of God must be trained to be like God. God said, God fainted not. If God faints one day, there won't be a son. If God's mercy there faints one day, all of us will go out. We won't come back. If you know an amount of demons on the streets, that's why many Christians have suffered casualty. They are casualty of war. Because you know, there is war every day. You see, it's because God's mercy does not faint. When they say God never slumber on sleep, they are talking about a nature of incorruptibility in God. To be able to sustain life. telling us what God wants to make us. I'm telling us for all to know when we are talking about corruption, we are talking about some kind of nature. Those are natures that their heaven is trying to, they want us to deal with it. That's why they call those things are tendency. They are tendency. They do not look like a sin, but they are the works of the devil in me. That's the sometimes I want to say, how can you have the word of the devil inside of me? Because Ishishu is what makes men faint. And that thing is called corruption in me. It's Ishishu. But because I'm not doing fornication, and God have helped me, I'm not involved in ghosts of the flesh. As simple as that is, that thing in finance, in investment, it's what they call compounding. In fact, people will tell you that the strength of wealth creation is compounding. It's not those who carry big money. I have 3 billion. I'm going to invest it. How you know those who build wealth? They build it with compounding power of it. I believe for them to compound the thing on the thing they become blow up in their hand and become massive. That's what Satan have done. Satan know how to compound corruption in men by things they are not looking at. And that's the reason why you must not excuse things. Don't excuse it. Don't just say, don't mind me. I'm not just consistent. And say, my brother, it's not like that. Hold yourself accountable under Holy Ghost. Be a steward of the things of God. Don't spare yourself. Don't give excuses. When you find yourself not consistent, sit down. Judge it. This thing is not so. What I've been called, I've been called to God. My father is not like this. And I'm not going to be like this. Don't accept it. You see, don't accept it. And whenever you wake up in the morning, go to the mirror and tell yourself, you are a consistent woman being. You pay attention to God's commandments. You do it, come what may. You do it when it's convenient. You do it when it's not convenient. I see you already doing this. What God have given me. I see you doing this. You list everything you do. And you end that judgment with thanksgiving. Don't complain. Don't say, I'm just a bad woman. No. Don't speak negative of yourself. Stay with God. God is not an accuser of brethren. Don't accuse yourself. Confession is potent as in the meek of the word. I'm teaching from the sense of Hebrew 11 about the patriarch. That would say, for they say what they were saying. They say and confess. They were not saying negative things about themselves. It's not that I just want to be. I'm not realistic. You're not realistic. Your reality is what God said you are. You are. That's your reality. You must stay on the side of God, because everything you want to become, God has said it, and grace is available in your heart. Holy Ghost in your heart. You agree with it. That's why you judge yourself and agree with it. And in doing that, you become all that God has ordained you to be. It's time for us to deal with corruption and ungodliness. We must be like David. I want to finish the will of God. I say we will finish it. Yeah. I say we will finish the will of God. Yeah. Go to the feed. Or what? Or the slothful. Proverb. That is Proverb. You will not be like this in Jesus. Yeah. They repeated it twice. One slothful said, you also talk about the fearful. You said the fearful said there's a beast on the way. He said, it's a beast on the way. Look at the another one. Why you must give dividend to your feed, your soul? Proverbs 24:30. And when by the feed of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man, void of understanding, lo, it was all grown over with thorns. Nestes are covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then, 26:30. The slothful man said, there's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. 14. Therefore, he will not venture out. He won't obey God. Don't be slothful. Be fervent. Serving the Lord. Pay attention. Don't give excuses. Attend to the Lord. When you go to a problem, you will see different conditions of out of the slothful.
Don't be like that. Find mercy. Find grace to do the will of God. The Lord will empower us and give us great grace in the name of Jesus.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akeosinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.losthewchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.